Son, and the Holy Ghost. The two readings which we have heard today, that of the Epistle and that of the Gospel, present us with two aspects of Israel's, the old people of God's, faith and faithfulness, and also with the extraordinary ways of God. In the Epistle, God faced with the great heroes of the faith, men and women who have believed God's word, have trusted in Him to the point of giving their lives and their deaths for the sake of a promise once spoken to their forefathers and remaining unfulfilled for several thousands of years. This faithfulness of the descendants of Abraham, to whom God had promised, giving His promise, is something which we must learn from. More than 3,000 years, a whole nation has lived with all the faithfulness of which every person, every individual person was capable, because the word of God is truth. And however long we have got to wait for its fulfillment, it remains true, and the ways of God remains above our ways, as His thoughts are above our thoughts, inscrutable, but always true. In response to the faithfulness of God, a whole nation proved capable of remaining faithful to a promise that was never accomplished, until the day when the Lord came Himself, became a man, until the day when the Son of Mary was truly the Emmanuel, the God with us, who mankind had expected throughout its history. And then we have got this beginning of St. Matthew's Gospel. At times we listen to it with a sense of impatience. What do all these names mean? Even the scholars who have studied the Old Testament cannot always know who is mentioned under one name or another. Why this long line of names? But aren't we moved by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in His becoming a man, acquires a long human ancestry, that He is possessed of a human heredity, that one century after the other, one decade after the other, at times, brought one new feature that became woven into the history of a human family, the crowning of which was the incarnate Son of God. And when we read these names, some of them known to us, strike us because these are the names of the saints, the great men of the Spirit. But how many there are who are names of sinners? Rahab the harlot, Ruth the non-Israelite, and several others. Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah and was taken by force by David. In this ancestry, holiness and human frailty and sin are interwoven in a way that should strike us. How can the Son of God take upon himself a human nature which is woven by so many hands, the ones pure and the other ones soiled? Hands, souls, bodies, minds and hearts. All of them who are mentioned there, frail and so different from the heroes of the Spirit described in the Epistle, also were part of this nation that loved the promise and lived in the expectation of it, each according to his strength or his frailty. And one of the wonderful things about God is that he is called in the Old Testament a devouring fire. But his devouring fire is not a destructive fire. It's a fire that is capable of taking into itself all things and transforming them into fire, pure, unsoiled, beyond pollution. Fire can be fed with sandalwood or with refuse. Once the material is thrown into this fire, it is taken by it and transformed. And this is our hope, and this is our wonder, that we can come to God as Tamar, as Rahab, as Ruth, as Bathsheba, as David, as Solomon, as Manasseh, as all these people who are remembered for their frailty, but also for their repentance and for their faithfulness, for the fact that they believed that God does not break his promise, and then therefore one can live for the sake of a promise, waiting for it to be fulfilled in our life or perhaps generations later. And one day it was fulfilled. God came and he is Emmanuel, God in our midst. God came, and his name, his human name, is Jesus, which means God saves. The promise is fulfilled. But shouldn't we think one moment of these thousands of years when people lived by hope and never saw the fulfillment of this promise? So faithfully, so dangerously, ready to die if necessary, but not to betray their faith, their certainty that God was true. And we live in a world when the promise was fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled in Christ. Eternal life has come to us. is like a seed that carries us. And what about us? About our faith in other promises and our faithfulness to the living God who gave them. Can't we emulate the frailness of the Old Testament and try to grow to the measure of the greatest? They lived in expectation. We live within the certainty of things that have already happened and were expecting fulfillment, the glorious coming of the Lord, the victory of God, which is our eternal life and our salvation. How much enthusiasm and inspiration, how much courage and hope, how much daring and joy we should put into our lives. We are God's people, but the people of a God who is already in our midst. He is one of us if we are one of His. What wonder, what joy, what inspiration. Amen. The blessing of the Lord be upon you, by His grace and love towards mankind, always, now and forever, and world without end. Possibility which people have to hear this service in Russia. And so the service will take place not at you as usually evening service do at 6 o'clock, but at 6:45. There will be a liturgy on Christmas Day, Saturday the 7th, at 10:30. And the usual services on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. But on that Sunday morning, we will have two ordinations, the one to the diaconate and the other one to the priesthood in the course of the liturgy. Our deacon, Patrick Paddy Hodgson, will become a priest to serve in Norfolk and around it, helping Father David. He will be particularly in charge of Norwich, but he will also give a helping hand to Father Basil in Cambridge because of the illness of Rachel and the need he is in to be with her as much as possible. The deacon to be ordained is our reader, Elias, who has created a small parish in Bury St. Edmunds and who will serve there within the limits of his diaconate. Pray for both of them, for Patrick and for Elias, that it should be truly the grace of God that comes upon them, that it should not be only a laying on of human hands, but an outpouring of God's grace and power and spirit. A last thing, or a penultimate one, the next talk, the next Thursday talk, is not going to be to happen in a fortnight as usual, but the next talk will take place on Thursday the 5th of January, that is, in the coming week. We have with us a monk from North Athos, Father Eusebius, whom I met a number of years ago under difficult circumstances in Rättvik in Sweden. He has found his way to becoming now a hermit, and it was a joy to have him celebrating with us, praying with us, and making the holy mountain present to us by his own presence. He will give you the Holy Cross to venerate so that you can for one moment be face to face with him. Those of you who can speak French or Greek can do so after the event, when he will go to the vestry to have a cup of tea with us.
Воздесись, мертвый Христос, истинный Бог наш, молитв ради пречистия Своей Матери, святых славных и всехвальных апостолов, святых славных и добропобедных мучеников, иже во святых Отца нашего Иоанна, архиепископа Константинопольского Златоустова, преподобных и богоносных отец наш Сергия, игумена Радонежского и всея России чудотворца, и Серафима Саровского чудотворца, священномученика власти Севастийского, святителей Стефана Сурожского и Павла Цареградского, святых и праведных Богу Отец Иоакима и Анны и всех святых, помилует и спасет нас, яко благ и человеколюбец.
Amen.